Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're still on the throne, that you're still in control, that you still know every situation going on in our life. For some of us, things are new, things are different, things are challenging, but still, Lord, you have not changed. Your word says you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for this, we're grateful and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I was going through Facebook this weekend and I saw, I think Christina's and Danny are at the Indy 500, right? I was like, wow, look at that. A lot of people in Pensacola, I don't know why, but they're there with Jacob's parents. If you don't know Jacob, we were just talking about his mom, who's a wonderful, she's been here, but I said, how's your mom? He goes, oh, she's good, she's going to Pensacola this week. And I'm like, they're going to clean out a storage unit and down there. And so, oh, he's a lot of our people will be there. And what I really like about this church is that when we started this church, we said it would be a safe place for everyone. I had an amazing meeting this past Thursday night with a group of people from the church. And if you were on that meeting, thank you for your contribution, because it was, I posted on Facebook, and it was open to anyone who wanted to come to the group, but it was really a brainstorming group about some outreaches that we can do. How can we get out of this building and into our community? And there were some really great ideas. I was really excited about those ideas. Some good feedback from a lot of our people. And there's a lot of our newer people, which excites me. And a lot of our older people are doing some of the things that they have done so well. And Meetup, you guys have done a great job with Meetup, so thank you for that. I'm excited to go watch the softball. I was going to say, can you just join like a cheerleader area too? Because I'll be there with that part. But it's amazing because people are finding areas that they can serve in. You don't have to just be able to speak and sing. There are areas in our church that you can serve, and our whole goal is to touch people for God, to let them know that God loves them. You know, it's good to see some older people. Old people look at us. I don't look at you, Ed, sorry, but I'll look at but some new people too. And you know, this is our, let's see, 1, 2, 3rd building that we've been in. How many of you were in the first building? Just me and you, Ed, I guess. Actually, it's our 4th building. So, yeah, we're in the 3rd. Because the first building, our first building was an office, not an office complex. It was an office. And we had these rolling business chairs that someone had donated from their office, you know, the kind that rolled and they didn't really work, so that the companies gave them away. So we had these rolling, so don't worship people, just kind of rolling this way and rolling that way. And there was, we started with 12 of us in that room. And then we were like, you know, as we're growing, we need another building. And in that complex, they had another building. And at that time, I think it was a dance studio at that time. I'm like, oh, that's good for a church. So, and it was at the very bottom floor, so we had to go down steps because it was still a step for us, but it still wasn't a great place. It still was below the basement. We had to go down the steps, and it had glass on the side. And I remember walking into the church and saying, God, this would be amazing if you brought people in here and we could really worship. That's when you came, Tracy. Are you in the next one? Okay. Oh, James. James came in that one. James and Jane were the two that came there. And then the next building we had is interesting because when we were in that building that was down the steps, we were like, okay, we're excited God's going to use us in this area. And Lord, we were praying for connections. Connect us to other groups. Connect us to influence other groups. That's when I started Meetup. And I'm like, let's do the meetup.com so that we can kind of get people in all of this. And one Sunday night, we met on Sunday nights, and one Sunday night, this African-American gentleman walks into the back of the church, and he's like worshiping. None of us know him. You know, it was just all of us and him. And so I'm like, oh, praise God, you're bringing people in. This is awesome. And he's worshiping. So at the end of the service, I'm thinking he probably doesn't know we're all LGBT because he did not look LGBT. Wrong to judge that, but he didn't. Nor do I, but he didn't. And so we meet after, and he goes, my name's Pastor Will. We're pastoring the church on the other side of this wall. There was a church, and we had heard that there was a church that met in the morning on the other side of our wall. So I'm like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. He goes, your worship was really great, and I really enjoyed it. And as we're talking, I said something. He goes, are you guys LGBT? I'm like, we are. He goes, we are too. And so God had, it's pretty much an African-American congregation and this little white congregation that were separated by the wall. But one in the morning, one at night. But I love that God did that. Out of all the buildings we chose, there was another church reaching another group of people, and God had us side by side. So in that time, we formed a relationship with them. We did some things with them. We met them. Pastor Elliot, really still a great friend of mine. As a matter of fact, last time I went to Piedmont Hospital to visit someone, the elevator opens, and he's coming out. He had just visited somebody. I said, we always cross paths. I love this. So I love how God does these things, because he sets connections up. And I believe in divine connections. I don't really believe in fate. I believe in the ordaining of our steps. And so we were in that building. So all of a sudden, Pastor Elliot comes to me one day and he says, our church is moving out of this building. He says, and we were praying about a space. And so he says, you know, we're moving to East Atlanta area, and it's called the Vision Church. So he said, we're moving over there. And he said, so if you guys want to rent from us, we'll be open to sub-renting our space. Because we'd been praying, we'd grown at that time, praying for God to give us more space. So it worked out perfect. So we walked into a church that was already ready for us, turnkey, which is really nice. And that's when some other people came. That's when Loida came to that church. She and Andy walked in, and different people. I'm thinking about all the people that kind of came at that time. And then we were there for several years, and then this church came on our radar, and actually someone named Greg found this location for us. And then I think the rest of you probably came. Anybody else in that other building? Oh, Jonathan, sorry. I just felt like you're with us all the time. So you too? Okay, so I know where God's brought us from, you see? And it's really easy for me to say, wow, he's done some amazing things. But if you're only coming here, you might say, oh, this is kind of a warehouse. It's not really. It's all perspectives, because we started with nothing. We started meeting in our home. So we didn't have an endowment fund. We didn't have all of this money that we could just go and build this beautiful church. We started with a group of us still working. I was working a full-time job, traveling and everything and doing all this. And somehow through all of that, God brought a group of people, and here we are today. So I love the fact that he continues to tell me to just trust him. That don't look at situations and don't listen to situations. We have a tree in our backyard. During the storm, it's an oak tree. Now, I wanted to get this tree cut down. I have this thing about trees falling on houses, right? Well, most people do. I have a fear of it. I have a concern of it. And so when Ed and I first got together, I said, okay, can't buy this house, too many trees. He's like, what? He's from California. And I'm like, yeah, they fall a lot. So I'm really concerned about those things. So this oak tree's there. As a matter of fact, when we closed on our house where we're at now, I had them take out three huge pine trees that were leaning over the house. So the guy, when he took them out, said, this oak tree is the one I'm concerned about in your backyard. He said, it's close to your house, but it'll be about $4,000 to move it. I said, okay, I don't have $4,000 to move that tree. So I said, God's going to have to move that tree. I'm not going to be able to do this. So long story short, during the storm, guess what fell? Away from the house, the oak tree. We also had a tree in the front of our house that was another huge oak tree that I wanted removed as well. I said, God, and that was even more. It was $4,500 because it was even bigger. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I really want that. I don't hate trees, FYI. It seems like it. But these were the ones that were concerning me. So I remember praying from my front door and saying, God, I want that tree gone. Remember that huge tree? And so Georgia Power comes one day and starts sawing the limbs off of the, you know how they do with the lines of the tree? Not only to make it look terrible, but in doing that, it opened up the tree to infection. And so all of a sudden, the tree began to die. So I called George Power, and I said, you killed my tree. He said, yeah, we seen several on that street. We're going to come take it down for you. So George Power took the tree in the front. The storm took the tree in the back. And so right there, we're almost like $10,000 ahead of the game. If I had done it in our own strength, I would be $10,000 less. So I always talk about A lot of times we try to solve our problems in our own strength instead of praying about them first, because we often have the resources to do it in our own strength. We just don't go to God first. But how much greater would it be if we went to God first for that? So we have this tree in our backyard that fell over. It's laying flat down. So, and this was during the winter. So it's down, it fell, and you know, it didn't look like it had died. Well, lo and behold, around springtime, guess what started growing out of the tree had fallen? Guess what starts growing out of the tree? All these branches alive. So the roots were still on the ground. So the tree is still alive. It just happens to be, you know, laying on the ground. It's not standing straight up. So it's laying down, so it's growing there because its roots are in the ground. And today is Memorial Day, and I was thinking this morning, how many of us celebrate our life laying down instead of standing up tall? You see, we still have life in us. We still have the love of God in us. We still go through life, but we've been knocked down, and we don't even know it. We're kind of laying down. We still have the roots in God, so we grow. And God is saying, I want you to stand up. I want you to be planted. Psalm says you would be planted by rivers of water. So you can kind of go through life surviving, or you can go through life excited about what God's going to do in your life. And I think it's a choice. I think a lot of times we get fooled and we start saying, oh, I'm fine, just the way I am. And God is saying, let me just stand you up. So that's when I thought about, you can put the slide up now. That's when I thought about this story, about memorials in our lives. And so there's a scripture that talks about memorials. It says, then Samuel took a stone and set up a monument between Mizpah and Shen. He gave it the name Ebenezer, saying, the Lord has helped us thus far. I preached about this last Memorial Day. So an Ebenezer is a memorial. It's something you look back on to you celebrate about something that's taking place in your life. What had happened was God had saved the children of Israel. How many times is the same story, right? The enemy comes in, God saves them, they celebrate, then they do the same exact thing again, and the enemy comes in, they cry, they weep, God saves them, and they go on to the next chapter, the next generation, and they continue the same thing again and again. That's human nature. That's the fallen nature. But at this point, they actually built a monument so that when they crossed the river, they would remember that God did this in their life. So I think sometimes we have to look at the monuments in our life. And I was going to talk a little bit about Lazarus. You know the story of Lazarus? So I won't go into all of the scripture. I want to talk a little bit about it. So Lazarus was a really good friend of Jesus. And he had two sisters. Who are the sisters of Lazarus? Mary and Martha. So one of them was the one who did everything. He just kind of served and did all these things for people. He was very busy. She was very busy. And her name was Martha. So she was the one when Jesus would come over. She's the first one. Like last week with Eric Boyd, Lost David. Last week we had a great service here. And when we were at his house, when David had passed away, Pastor Jonathan was there, Lloyd and Sarah were there, Ryan was there, Ed was there, Deb and Robbie were there. We were all sitting in his living room with him. And David had passed away that night, and he's like, so do you want something to eat? I'm like, you're such a Martha. Just sit down and just receive. And so sometimes it's hard for the Marthas to really receive because they think about other people. And that's something that God puts in you. They think about service. They think about doing things for people. And that's a gift that God's put in you. But the Marthas can sometimes wear themselves out. They can sometimes get tired. They can sometimes feel like I'm doing all these things and they're not getting filled. Now, Mary, on the other hand, Martha thought was pretty selfish because there's so much work to do, but what does Mary do? Mary goes and she sits at the feet of Jesus and just worships. Martha's a little ticked. So she's saying, hello, Jesus, you know all things, right? Come on, look at what she's doing. I have a lot of stuff to do. I have food to prepare. I have people to serve. I have cleaning to do. And here she is, all she's done is sitting by you and nothing. And Jesus is like, oh, you don't understand. So sometimes we get into our work mode or we get into the worship mode. And in this story, you have two sisters from the same family and the brother, and Jesus was friends with all of them. And I feel like in our life, if you want to really be a Martha, you have to have the Mary part of your life. Otherwise, you're going to burn out. As a matter of fact, there was a couple of people that had come here, and they came. They were new, but they came. People will come here, and I have had a couple of people do this and say, "Oh, I was so active in my other church. I did this, 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 this. I'm ready to help all these areas." And I'll say, "Yeah, that's we don't want you to do that," because I really feel like He wants us to be human beings and not just human doings. And if we just do, we kind of get to a point to where we're not actually just worshiping. So what we like to do is we like to make sure people are plugged into the right areas. I was a youth pastor for 5 years of my life. I loved those kids. It was one of the best times of my life. I was Assemblies of God minister, youth pastor for 5 years. I had amazing youth. So I know what it's like to be a youth pastor. I pray for you very much. I was also 25. So just because I did that a few years ago, doesn't mean I'm supposed to be doing that now. So maybe you worked in a ministry in a certain capacity in your past. But as Jesus raises us to new life in new areas of our life, new times in our life, we have to really look and say, God, do I need to do what I was doing, or is it something new? Because I really want to make sure that you're plugged into where you need to be. Because otherwise, you're going to begin to not grow, and you're going to begin to die. Just because you sing doesn't mean you're supposed to be in the worship team. Do you know that? I mean, we would love to have you on the worship team, but a lot of times we put ourselves into a box. Now, I had the privilege of last night going to see a great group called DK and the Hoopsnakes. it's a music group, and Pastor Deb is in that group. And I'm like, so who's DK? And they're like, that's who K. So all the rest are Hoopsnakes. And like, yep, the rest are Hoopsnakes. And here she is. So she's playing the bongo drums. You know, she started as our drummer, actually. Then she runs over to the guitar. And then she's going to the keyboard. And it's like every instrument, you know. And so Ed made a joke. He said, oh, the only one you don't play is the bass. And she goes, well, actually, I started on the bass before any other instrument. So she plays every instrument. But if we would just pigeonhole her into the bass, we would never be able to receive the many blessings that she had. I mean, she wrote two of the songs that we sang this morning. So don't just go by what you've done in the past. Ask God for the new areas of your life, because a lot of us want to stay safe. We want to stay in an area where we know we can do this. This is what I've done, and we just go on autopilot. But maybe God is asking you to do something different. I was thinking about Ebenezer's and the life of this church. So I jotted a couple down while I was here. So the first one that I was remembering, when we were in the third building, the one where you came in, do you remember Pastor Greg from Texas? Were you there for Pastor Greg? So Pastor Greg stopped and visited us. He was really good friends with our girl in our church named Carrie. That particular service, we had a girl from Korea, from South Korea, and she spoke very little English. She had gone to Emory, and she was a student there, and she found our church, and she was doing research in LGBT community. So she found us online, and she goes there. I always like to meet the visitors, and I introduced myself, and she's like, I speak a little English, and we're talking all that. So all of a sudden, Greg comes up and just starts talking to her in fluent Korean. Now, he was visiting that one Sunday that he and Albert were passing through, and he had been a missionary to Korea. But not only just the country Korea, we found out through the exact city where she was from. So these are the things that God does. This little town in Korea where she grew up, I mean, her mouth, she literally had her mouth wide open when he introduced and he said where he had done his mission work. So I thought about, of all days for God to bring Greg and Albert to stop to see Carrie was the day he knew this Korean girl was going to come into the church. You see, those are the things he sets up. He does things behind the scenes a lot of the times. I remember the other time we were singing a song, and there's a song called Did You Hear the Mountains Tremble? Have you, do you know that song? It said, Fling wide, you heavenly gates. And then it says, open up the doors and let the music play. And I remember I just said, somebody needs to open those doors. And as we did, there was a guy passing by. And he said, I heard the music. I was trying to figure out how to come in. And he came and sat down into the service. I remember those type of things because they're not every day, but I can go back to these Ebenezers and remember, God, you did this in our life. I've shared this one, and I know some of you don't know, but when I went to Bible college, my roommate was kicked out of Bible college for being gay. And for years, I had searched for him because I wanted to tell him, "You can't. It's okay. It's okay." And I know the scriptures, and I want to talk to him. And I'm like, God, I've got to come in contact with him. And we were out of town 1 week, and when I came back, I generally call the visitors that come in, so you guys will get a text or call from me. But I called, and he's like, as soon as he, you know, when I looked at the name, I said, wow, why do I know this name on the visitor card? And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. This was my roommate in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, when I was in Bible college in 1986. There's no way in Atlanta. And he got kicked out for being gay, and I lost contact with him. So I looked for the guy that had brought him because I said, how did you hear about the church? And he put somebody else in our church. So I called that guy, and I said, Ryan, I said, this Eddie that you brought to church, does he have a twin brother? Do you know? He goes, yeah, and his name is Charlie. I'm like, oh, my God. This was my roommate in Bible college, and I had been praying for years for God to reconcile us, and he came here. And so I called Eddie. He said, that's your church. And I said, yes. So he said, you're the Pastor Keith they kept talking about. I'm like, I am. When I was in Exodus in Kansas City, Missouri, I was in Springfield, Missouri at the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary. And when I graduated, I moved to Kansas City. And I went to Kansas City, and I joined Exodus, the ex-gay group. So you guys went to our website, so you know we have a lot of LGBT people. Okay, just making sure. because some people have not. As a matter of fact, remember the Haitian guys that came here that were just like, gosh, your worship's amazing, and they were going to be missionaries to Haiti. And they're like, this was so awesome. And then the next week they came, and they're like, are you guys gay? And I'm like, we are, some of us. We have some straight people. But they kept coming. They're like, you're really messing with our theology because we really felt God in this place. And they were on their way to be missionaries to Haiti. God really messed them up there. He said, maybe? I said, well, maybe he's calling you to do an outreach to LGBT there. He says, we're going to really pray about this because we felt the Holy Spirit here. That was another one of those Ebenezer moments. So I'm in Kansas City, and I get in this group of Exodus, and I meet this real guy named Jeff, and we become best friends. And, you know, of course, we're all trying to be straight, so they did all kinds of things with us. They dressed the women in dresses and put makeup on them, and they made us learn sports. It was not a good sight. And, of course, the girls were walking, and we'd be like, you know, you need to do this with your hair. You know, this would look much better on you and all that. Some of the stereotypes don't fit, but a lot of them did. And then they would put these girls in the heels would never wear heels in life, and they were trying to walk in the heels, and the guys were like, let me show you. And they would put up with the weight, they're like, you got to walk on the balls of your toes, you know, not the balls of your feet and all this. So it was kind of funny. It was a different type of therapy to try to change you. Seriously happened. This is really did through us. And so Jeff and I were there, and Jeff was fairly normal, or at least as normal as it could be. And we would just laugh about some of these things because I said, it's kind of like trying to put lipstick on a pig. You know, you can't really do that. It's just, people are people. And I said, it's so cultural because when you go to Europe, it throws you off, guys, because the guys are holding hands, whether they're straight or gay. And they dress really metrosexual. So it's confusing. So that's all external stuff. And he knew that too. And we were talking, we laughed, and we became really good friends. Do I?
That's the goal.
That's the goal. Exactly. So neither gay, straight, black, white, male, female, it doesn't make a difference in God. So Jeff and I become good friends. 3 years I'm in this group with him. When I decided to leave the group, they were no longer allowed to associate with me because I left. So I didn't see them anymore. So all my friends that I had left the group, and I was going to be, okay, God told me I'm okay now, and I need to try to figure this part out. So I joined a church that was affirming, and I'm going on. So I finally moved to Cincinnati from Kansas City with my job, and eventually moved here to Atlanta. While I'm here in Atlanta, there's a guy named Robbie. And he starts coming to church here. And Robbie's a worshiper. He'd come from the Vineyard background. He loved the church. He's did flags. He loves our church. So Robbie's coming here. And the whole time, he's like, you need to pray for my partner. I said, okay, you need to pray. I will pray for him. He goes, he's been really hurt by the church. He was in Exodus. I said, I'm in Exodus. He goes, yeah, he was in Exodus. He doesn't want to step foot in a church again. That's the sad part about what that ministry does sometimes. He really feels like God hates him. He's mad at the church, all this stuff. And so we are at Pride one year. And at this time, Robbie's like, yeah, we're going to be moving to Las Vegas. And I really wish, you know, that I could get him to come, but I can't get him to come. And he says that we're moving at the end of the summer. So we're at Pride, which we're going to do again this year, by the way. We're at Pride. So we are at our booth at Pride, and here comes Robbie. And so Robbie's like, Pastor Keith. I'm like, Robbie, so good to see you. He goes, yeah. I said, when you guys move? He said, we're moving like in three or four weeks to Las Vegas because I want you to meet my partner. And I turn around and guess who his partner is. Jeff from Kansas City is Robbie's partner, who's coming to our church and who never wanted to come back into church again. He's like, this is the Keith you talked about? I said, this is the Jeff you talked about? So the same thing happened. Those things cannot just happen. God ordains our steps. And so I want you to know that trust him with your life because he really knows what he's doing. I know this is a little different type of group that's here today. And some of you heard this, but I Ed and I celebrated our 20th anniversary on May the 4th. So we were both like 4 years old when we met, of course. May the 4th be with you. That's how we remember it, actually. Do you know, Charlene and I, we actually have our, and Randy, we all have the same. Last night, I'm like, by the way, I want you to speak in church tomorrow. He's like, what? So I'm like, I really would love for you to speak in church and to share an Ebenezer. Would you come here, Ed? Ed doesn't ever do this, so welcome, Ed. He's a little shy. So just share the story that we talked about, maybe?
Well, how many of you know that when God's trying to tell you something and you don't listen, sometimes he has to do something to get your attention? So if you're hard-headed like I am, he has to do something, sometimes pretty dramatic, to get your attention. So Keith and I were fairly new in our relationship, and we'd had some struggles. And honestly, I wasn't used to being in a relationship, and I didn't grow up having brothers and sisters. I was an only child. So I really wasn't used to what you have to do to get along with someone. And I'm as used to being thinking about me. My parents thought about me. I thought about me. So that's how I thought it was, you know. So anyway, so now I'm in this relationship, and we're having some struggles, and we would have various times when we would have arguments, and so I was a flight attendant, so whenever we have a struggle, I thought, well, that's it, I'm done, I'm leaving, so I'd grab my rollerboard, and I'd be out the door. So, well, this particular time, it was Christmas, and we were decorating the tree, and as usual, just silly little thing that you have an argument about, and it's just some stupid thing about how the tree was being decorated or something. Anyway, that was it. I was done again. So I grab my rollerboard. I'm out the door once again. And so I get in my little convertible, and I take off down the road, and I'm driving. Well, the next thing you know, it starts pouring rain, and I think I'm on 75 because I didn't know the city that well at that time, but I was on 75 going towards Stockbridge. And so I'm driving along, and you know, I'm thinking about, you know, all these things about, you know, about God and what's going on, and you know, how mean Keith is to me and how he doesn't appreciate me, and all these kinds of thoughts are going through my head. Well, next thing I know, this car pulls up beside me, and he kind of points to the back of my car. Said, well, you know, I don't know what's going on. Next thing I know, my tire flies off my car, shoots across, misses everything, misses all the cars, goes all the way, shoots through and hits the median. And next thing, I'm driving, I'm going 70, it's pouring rain, semis all around me, and thinking, oh my gosh. So the car didn't even react. I kind of got the car to the side, I got it stopped, and I'm thinking, well, what do I need to do? Well, I need to call Keith. Well, I didn't have my cell phone with me. I left in such a hurry. I didn't even have my cell phone with me. So I'm on my own. It's just me and God. So I thought, okay, well, I can do this. So I thought, I'm going to get the manual out. I'm going to figure out how to do this. I'm going to be a man about this, and we'll get this taken care of. So anyway, so I was able to finally get the spare out, get the tire put on, and I'm on 75, and in just a few feet away from me, semis are going flying past me at 75 miles an hour, you know. So I'm getting my tire put on. I finally get back in the car. I start it up, and I pull off at the very next exit, which ironically I think is the exit that we eventually moved to in Stockbridge, was our exit where we eventually started the church, actually. Pull off there, and there's a phone booth out there. So I suck it up, and I call Keith. What happened? I said, I lost my tire. You know, just, you know, turn around and come back. Call me each time when you get to the next stop. Just let me know you're on your way back. Well, I didn't know the city, so I had no idea where I was in Atlanta, so he couldn't even come and get me, so I was still on my own. But each way on the way back, I would call him, and so I eventually made it back home. But when I took my car in, I thought, there's going to be a lot of damage, because, I mean, I was going a couple miles over the speed limit. So anyway, I thought there'd be a lot of damage, but the car had no damage whatsoever. From that moment, that was an Ebenezer in my life, because God got my attention from that experience. But it took that to really get my attention. But I'll tell you, from that day on, I knew that God was in our lives. I knew that He had placed me here, and He showed me without a doubt that His hand was in this. We never experienced that again. I mean, I never grabbed my rollerboard and left again. I'm still here 20 years later.
I just remember when he left that time, generally I tried to fix the situation, because I would go out and say, please don't leave. Let's communicate. Let's talk about these things. Let's work these things. And this time God said, don't even try. Just trust. That's a hard thing to do, because he's gone. And what I usually do is fix that situation and come back. And I said, okay, guys, so as I was decorating a tree, I said, Lord, he's your property. He's your son. You've got your hands on him. I just pray that you get a hold of him, that you let him know, Lord, that you love him, that our relationship is good, that you want him. And I was praying all these things, declaring these things over his life. I didn't know that God was going to take his tire off of his car. Yeah. But going 70 miles an hour, his tire actually went across. He didn't go the whole detail, but his tire actually went from one side of I-75 going south across the median to the other side going north. He had no tire on his car. How that happened, there's got to be an angel holding that up to stop that, to go to the side of the road. That's just crazy. Exactly. And then when he came back, and it was different after that. But I changed as well, because I wasn't trying to fix things there. And I know in relationships are difficult. Learning those things, and if you put God in the center of it, and you start trusting him, you start praying, God, show them who they are in you. Show them how they were created in your image. Show them what they can do. Show them that you have a plan for them. When you start doing that, you kind of stop trying to change them, and God begins to do the change in us. Because I changed that whole situation. I was no longer, our codependency changed quickly, because I was the rescuer. And you know, now it's much more different. So, but I wanted him to share that, because that's an Ebenezer in our life. And I know some of you have Ebenezers in your life, that God has done certain things. Do you remember when you first got saved? Remember that time when you accepted the Lord Jesus in your life? I mean, I remember it so clearly. I can go back to that time, and I remember going from that time. But I look at the things in our life that takes place, and God is authoring them. So takeaway today to me is, we all have Lazarus in our life, and we all have things that need to die. And deciding which ones are supposed to stay dead and which ones God wants to resurrect requires discernment in our life. But what I'm saying is that I don't want to do the same thing we've done as a church either. Just because we've done it for the last 16 years one way, God is maybe telling us to do things a little bit differently. So pray as we're going forward about one, where you can be and what God's wanting you to do. There's something that's going to be taking place in some of your lives that is so different than you have done in the past, and I know that. And I just wish that you can kind of see or get a glimpse of that, because I know there are. I think some of you, kind of like Ed, I think some of you may not be the ones who do all the speaking, but when you do, people listen. There are some of you quiet ones that I really like God's going to use to do some speaking. So don't be afraid to do that, because I want to encourage you. One, God wants to use us all in this area of our life. So be praying for us. Know that there were Ebenezers that happened in the past, but I believe that he's going to either raise up the ones, that areas that are dead that need to be raised up, or there's going to be new things he's going to plant in this body. I'm excited about it. So be praying for that. So let's close. Father, I thank you for today, for this memorial. What I pray for right now, God, is that you give us direction in our personal life. I pray for relationships. I pray, God, that you give strength, that you give wisdom in the relationships. I also pray for our church as we go forward. I thank you, Lord, for wisdom. I thank you for our amazing leaders that you've given. I thank you for Karen and for James and Pastor Deb and Jonathan. And I thank you, Lord, for Robert. I thank you for those that you put skills in our leaders. And our leaders have a heart for you and a heart for our church. And I'm thankful for that. What I pray is that you continue to lead us and guide us and keep us focused on what you're calling us to do. I do pray even for the outreaches that we're going to have, that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen.